We may live over 5,000 miles from Lincoln Financial Field, but what we lack in proximity, we make up for in the film study. And each and every week, we'll be bringing you in-depth film breakdowns from across the pond and the Sooner State. Welcome to On the Shane Page. I am your host, Shane Half. You can follow me on Twitter at ShaneHalfNFL, and I am joined by BGN's own film guru, Johnny Page. Give him a follow on Twitter at JohnnyPage9. Johnny, night one of the draft is in the books. I know you were up super early this morning to catch up. All things considered, how are you doing?
Yeah, early morning for me. Yeah, I used to start for the draft and then work gets in the way. And I've always tried to find a way around it. But I got up about 13 hours ago. So it happened the same day for me. And the weirdest thing is, Shane, I can't check Twitter. So I feel like I have a really unique perspective of the draft. I don't like fast forward for it. I watch it like a good 2.5 hours. I only really skip a little bit of ads and stuff. I pretty much watch it as if it's live. And I know this is an Eagles podcast. We are going to talk a little bit about the first round as well and some targets. We'll try and be pretty brief. But I couldn't concentrate last night or this morning. I spent the whole time confused about the Falcons. I don't think I've ever seen a worst draft pick in the top 10 ever. Like, I sat there completely bemused. I was desperate to check my phone. I was tempted to go on Twitter and just type in Falcons' name and Kirk Cousins' name to see what people were saying, but I didn't want to see any spoilers. But I basically spent the whole time stunned. Like, I sort of forgot the Eagles were up in like 12, and because I was just so confused by that pick. It was a pretty slow start, wasn't it? I feel like everyone knew the top three by the time it came. There's always these trade rumors that never come around. But I feel like once the Falcons made that pick, it sort of got really interesting. And yeah, we'll obviously get into it from the Eagles' point of view, but I think it went very, very well for the Eagles. I think the board fell very well with a heavy offense early on. But yeah, that pick just stunned me. It literally, I'm still not really over it. I've not really figured out what they're doing. So thank goodness this is not a Falcons podcast, because we would be struggling. Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually seen your tweet, but it's...
Yeah, I tweeted out when that happened. The Falcons just made the worst pick you will see tonight. Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 is absurd. And then like 30 minutes later, I had to tweet out the Broncos and a gif from Ted Lasso saying, hold my beer, when they took Bo Nix at number 12 overall. Just some absurd drafting going on.
The Broncos have at least got a need. Like, the Falcons, they got Kirk Cousins. We won't get into it now because it's not a Falcons podcast, but that to me was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. The fact his agent didn't know. The fact that Falcons GM came out today and said, if he sits for 4 years, that's great because it means we're doing well at the position. Like, are you, like, I've never understood a pick less. Like, I feel a little bit similar when Jalen Hurts was picked in a second. I couldn't really understand it, but at least it was like a second round pick. So we're back up for a second round pick, and at least eighth, Roma Dunze on the board. Like, old quarterback. Yeah, I've got no idea. I've literally got no idea. But anyway, where do you want to start, say? Because we spent ages talking off air. Didn't even talk about what we're going to do for this quick podcast. So I guess we should start with the Eagles' first round pick, and then we'll do first round in general, and then we'll do some
targets. Let's start with a quick review first. So again, five-star ratings and reviews, very much appreciated. We're up to 23 ratings on Apple Podcasts. And fun fact, they're all 5 stars, and you actually, that's the only review, that's the only thing you can submit. Like, if you try to submit a 4-star or a 3 or a 2 or a 1, Apple's like, are you sure? I don't think so. And they just discount you entirely. So hit those 5-star reviews. We've got a new one this week from Class Action Suit. Headline, a great listen, says Shane and Johnny do a great job breaking down the film on the birds each week. Definitely worth the listen to pick up some of those little things you might have missed on game day. So I appreciate that. There's a bunch of reviews, and we'll start reading some of those on air as well. There's some 5-star ratings on Spotify. I don't think you can leave reviews, but we really appreciate you guys doing that. So please continue to do so. And yeah, let's dive in. Let's start specifically with the Eagles' first round pick. So at 22 overall, they took Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo, which is a guy that Johnny and I both talked about. Johnny, he was the number 10 player on my big board. He was my top ranked cornerback, my number 2 defensive player, one spot behind Leiatu Latu. And to me, to get Quinyon Mitchell, who again, top 10 player for me, And it happens to fit the biggest position of need that you had in the draft. And you didn't even have to trade up for him. Like, I was so happy. Like, that's an A-plus first round for me. I could not have been more thrilled with that selection. What were your thoughts when you finally got there?
Yeah, the board was just weird, wasn't it? So I don't put them into a straight up order. So I can't tell you where he was. He probably would have been between like 10 and 14 for me. He was in my tier one. So I had two cornerbacks in my tier one only. And I think we may have spoke about the two that possibly trading up for Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell. So full disclosure, I had Terrion slightly ahead of him. However, that was basically only because of the level of competition. I like the profile of Quinyon Mitchell more, and Terrion being slightly shorter, slightly lighter, slightly poorer testing, and definitely poorer in the 40. I mean, Terrion's 4.51 is a little bit of a concern, whereas Quinyon hit the 4.33. The only thing for me was literally the level of competition. That was like the real big knock I had on him. But I tweeted this out today. I literally put in my Eagles faults. I said, obviously, I would love him. And I think his skill set fits Fangio's defense perfectly. And we'll maybe talk about that in a second. But I said, I would be stunned if he's available. And the Eagles probably won't move up for any cornerback in the first. I'd basically, Shane, written it off. When I was looking at cornerbacks of late, I've been ignoring Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell. I've been talking myself into Cooper DeJean. I've been talking myself into other cornerbacks. I basically just didn't think they would be there. I think the way the board fell was really weird. I think the seriously heavy offensive, but then also like the sort of edge that went, and they just sort of kept dropping. And as you were getting closer to the Eagles pick, you were thinking, this is easy. Like, obviously the quarterbacks going early just pushed them down. I think if you only had three or four quarterbacks go, they would have gone earlier. And I was just sitting there as the Eagles pick was approaching, like, this is the most obvious first round pick ever. Like, there was no surprise at all. It was basically going to be Arnold or Quinyon, wasn't it, when it came to it, because it was just such an obvious fit that the Eagles needed. And as you said, they got the best two guys available and didn't have to move. So it was really weird. It was almost too nice. So, yeah, should we get into a little bit about him as a player then? Why don't you start us off, and I'll sort of add to you afterwards, seeing as I know you really liked him. So very quick scouting report. I know there's loads of these out there, but how would you summarize his skill set as a player?
Yeah, so he's a tremendous athlete. 9.79 relative athletic score. He led FBS and forced incompletions over the last two seasons. He only has one defensive pass interference in the last 2 years combined, zero missed games in the last 3 years. So he's durable. He does not get flagged very often. Great playing on the ball. He had PFF's highest coverage grade in man coverage this year and their fourth highest grade in zone. I think he reads out route concepts really well, and he keys off quarterbacks and makes plays at the catch point. He's fast, and it's not just I train for the 40 fast, but he clocked 23.58 miles per hour on the GPS this season. And I think he shows physicality as a tackler, specifically of wide receivers. I don't think he's the best like tackler of running backs at times, but he's got excellent click and close from off coverage. Now, he's not as good a tackler against running backs, but he plays at the boundary, so it's not as big of a deal. I felt like he's really slow to open his hips and turn and run at times, and I think that comes both from his aggressiveness and the fact he knows he's got the makeup speed on MAC receivers, and that's something that maybe is going to have to adjust just a little bit because, you know, it's going to be different going against NFL receivers. You're not going to be able to make up ground on those guys as much, so he'll have to dial that back a little bit. And the last one is he's just really inexperienced in press coverage, but the Eagles pretty much don't run press coverage, so I don't think that really matters at all. But you know, I love Quinyon Mitchell. I was just blown away by that pick. I don't recall an Eagles first round going as perfectly the way I wanted it to ever.
Yeah, it was strange. I basically got everything the same as you. The only things I'd maybe stress a little bit heavier than you were, I mentioned like the off coverage. I think you did mention the off coverage being his best, but the like really, really loose hips, really fluid. He's not straight line speedy. Like Cooper DeJean, maybe an extremely good athlete, a little bit more straight line speed. He's really, really fluid. If you watch him play like post, deep ins, you can see for a technical term, he sort of sits in the hip pocket really nicely. I think the problem is, no, not the problem. The great thing about him is, I was going to say, the problem with most cornerbacks is that they either seem to be like elite athletes or really good at playing the ball. You don't get many who do both. So when I saw Quinyon Mitchell, when I saw the 4-3-3 and I saw the athletic traits, because I didn't watch him till post-combine, I expected to see like a physical athletic freak, but his ball skills are the thing. They're the thing that stand out to me more than anything. The way he plays the ball in the air. And I think interception numbers overshadow ball skills. So corners to get a lot of interceptions, everyone always talks about their ball skills, and I get that. But interceptions are a little bit more fluky. Like at the end of the day, if you get an interception, it's probably partly because the quarterback's made a poor throw. Whereas pass breakups is far more reliable as a metric. And the interceptions vary massively year by year, whereas pass breakups often don't. If you are good at getting your hand on the football, you will get a lot of pass breakups. He's really good at the catch point. So to me, he's not just a height, weight, speed prospect, which is what I thought he was going to be. The only knock on him, and I think you've basically mentioned them already, is I mentioned his build is a little slight. And when it comes to bigger running backs, bigger receivers in run defense, they may run him over. His hands in press coverage are a little bit shaky. You mentioned much better in off coverage, better when he can click and close on the ball. I think the one thing that obviously is the elephant in the room is that it's just a level of competition. We didn't get to see him against the very, very best. And apparently at the Senior Bowl, he was outstanding. And obviously, if you listen to the comments last night from Daniel Jeremiah, et cetera, they said his competitiveness, the way he played against good receivers like Roman Wilson, that's all great. But at the end of the day, we can't hide from the fact that there is a little bit of projection involved. Because if there wasn't, he would almost certainly go higher. Because from an athlete, I mean, 6'1", or 6', sorry, 195 pounds, 4.3, 340, like he's got the every trait you basically want. So he would not be there in the 20s if he did come from, say, Alabama, where he played against the best receivers on a weekly basis. I really did think he'd go earlier. I think very briefly, we know roughly what Fangio's going to do. We won't go too in-depth here, but I think the fact he plays in off coverage, he fits really well. No cornerback knows how to play the style until they get here, so it's always going to be a projection. And I hate it when people say, like, it's all zone coverage because half of Fangio's defense ends up, like, match anyway, so what's the difference? You end up running with receivers. But there's some really good examples on film when I watch him run down the field with post routes, and that's something I really look for in a Fangio defense, because anyone who knows the Fangio style knows that if you're one-on-one on the outside, you may be in whatever you want to call quarters or whatever you want to call it. If it's a 3-by-1, and at the end of the day, you want your best receiver to line up against the one, and your best cornerbacks line up against the best receiver. If you're taking a cornerback in the first round, you hope that in time, after Slay's gone, he will be your number one corner. That will mean you're going to be on man coverage in a lot by yourself, because there's a lot of 3-by-1 sets in the NFL. And we know that teams will often put their best receivers isolated. And they want to take that one-on-one matchup. And a lot of Fangio's defenses, they'll play tricks coverage. Essentially, they'll move the two safeties and the other cornerback to one side of the field. And going back to, like, Madden, what do you always throw whenever a team plays cover four on Madden? You throw the deep post. You run like a Mills concept, or you run something where you run a deep dig, you distract the safety's eyes, and then you throw the post behind them. And there's a couple, and I haven't got the clips now, they'll be in my article next week. I'll make sure I find them in the games I watched. There's a couple of times when he runs with posts down the field, and that's exactly what I wanted to see. Because to me, if you're playing in a Fangio defense, it's very easy for people to say, like Terry Arnold, oh, it doesn't matter that he ran a 4.5 because you don't run down the field as much anyway. I think that's nonsense. I think you will always run down the field in any scheme in the NFL. Vertical speed is so important. So I don't really think the Eagles could ask for much more. The only complaint you could have is that you wanted to go a different position. You can't really go a different way at all. Like, if you wanted secondary and you wanted a corner, to get Quinyon Mitchell at 22 is, as you said, is almost cheating. And this is not just us saying this, because you look at the consensus big board, you look at what, like, Daniel Jeremiah had him, consensus big board, Terry Arnold was 12 and Quinyon Mitchell was 11. So, and that's from the wide left, Arif Hassan's brilliant consensus big board, which is basically every single analysis put together. He was the 11th best player by consensus, and the Eagles got him at 22. So what can you say? Like, you can't really ask for much else. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on with Quinyon before we maybe get into more big picture thoughts, and then briefly touch on day two and day three, which I'm sure we got a lot to talk about there as well, or day two, I should say.
Yeah, you guys that are watching live, keep the comments rolling. We are going to get into some day two targets, because we had a question about that coming in from Twitter about Peyton Wilson at 50. So let's go to a couple quick comments here. Anthony on YouTube says, what an amazing start to the draft. Just need a linebacker in the second, and then His guy at running back in the fifth has been after Dylan Lube all cycle. So we'll see if that comes to fruition on day three. We've got some other comments about day two we'll get to as we go, as you said there. But yeah, Quinyon Mitchell at 22. Such a crazy first round how we got there. The first defensive player didn't come off the board until pick 15. And going into this draft, the latest that the first defensive player ever came off the board was at 8 overall. We almost doubled that. Going into this draft, 6 quarterbacks had only been selected in the first round one time in NFL history. And it was in 1983 when the 6th quarterback off the board was Dan Marino at pick 27. And we did it in 12 picks. And so that's part of what caused these guys to fall down the board. I'm not going to lie, I was panicking that the Eagles were going to take a tackle with Quinyon on the board or Terrion Arnold. I was on the Edge of Philly Sports draft show. We were cheering when the Steelers took Troy Fontenot at 20 because we thought that was the guy Howie was going to take. So really happy about how that played out. Do we want to talk any more about round one or about the other NFC East teams, or do we want to just get into round two targets since we're short on time today?
Yeah, let's do a very, very quick summary. We are short on time. Let's just say that I think the Giants annoyingly did the right thing and didn't screw up. I think taking Neighbors over the quarterbacks made sense, although they still have Daniel Jones or whoever it is, Drew Lock, as their starter, so you can't be too fearful of them. Washington took the quarterback I wouldn't have taken, but I understand why. I'd have gone Drake May, but that's just me personally.
Can I tell you a fun fact about Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, do it. Tell me something bad about him.
In college, Jaden Daniels threw a touchdown pass to Brandon Ayuk. That's how old Jaden Daniels is.
Yeah, I saw that stat yesterday. It came up on the feed, didn't it? Which is just wild. And then, remind me, the Cowboys took Guyton, didn't they?
Yes, they traded down and took Tyler Guyton.
So I'll be honest, I like Guyton, but he was in my like round one to round two. He wasn't like a clear player that I was desperate for them to get. So I'm not like panicking about the Cowboys, although I do think the Cowboys do what the Cowboys do, and they do have a similar philosophy to the Eagles, don't they? That they will build up. Except for that, I don't really have a great deal to say on the first round. I'd rather get into the Eagles on day two, I think. I would just say I find the run on quarterbacks to be absurd. And thank God the Eagles have got a quarterback, because like if you're getting to a situation now where everyone's taking them that early, it's unbelievably advantageous to have a first round pick in the era where quarterbacks are going to go that early, because basically there are players that should not have gone before people like Bo Nix, as you said, going 12 before any defensive player. Like Bo Nix going before Latu is like blows my mind. Like it's absurd. It's absolutely mental. And if you're going to get situations now where teams like the Falcons are going to do what they did, then the Eagles having a young quarterback, it just gives them a massive advantage. It means that although when you pick in the 20s, it's hard to get blue chip talent, it's not impossible. Because if 6-5 quarterbacks go every year that you don't expect, then you're going to knock down like top 15, top 14 players into the 20s every year. So yeah, anything else big picture really quickly you wanted to say on round one?
The only thing I also mentioned about round one is the Bills trading back with the Chiefs to let the Chiefs come up and take Xavier Worthy. That feels like a strange decision for a team that has been your Achilles heel in the playoffs for years to then give them the fastest receiver in combine history. Brandon Bean, the GM for the Bills, has to be hoping like Xavier Worthy is just a total flop a la John Ross, because I'm telling you right now, when Xavier Worthy catches a 75-yard touchdown pass on the first play of overtime to knock the Bills out of the playoffs, Bills fans are going to riot. I thought that was a really strange decision. Maybe they just didn't have Worthy up on, you know, high on their board, but they needed a receiver. And I thought it's just going to be funny if that comes to fruition down the road.
Yeah, just in general as well, actually, one final thought. I thought big picture, that was the most consensus first round I would imagine in a while. Last year when like the Lions took the two of them, Jack Campbell and Jamar Gibbs at high, it was a bit of a shock. Actually, except for people like the quarterbacks, as we've already mentioned, I think it was pretty consensus. I think people are a bit surprised today, but like people like Kool-Aid fell out the first and Cooper DeJean. But again, that's just a consequence of what really happened with the quarterbacks, because they got 3 extra than they were expecting. So I think it was pretty consensus. Like there wasn't many that snuck in that were really low down if you ignore the quarterbacks. So I think in that ways it was sort of what we expected, but I think the board looked pretty good for the Eagles based on their needs. So should we get into it? How would you want to do this, Shane? Because we don't talk about things off air. We just sort of waffle. So should we go through round two first? Give me like your round two current plan that would be. Again, the Eagles haven't got any third round picks, have they? So the Eagles got 2 second round picks. Where are you looking? Throw out some names. I mean, I'll do something similar and we'll talk about where we're going.
I just tweeted this out earlier. Here's my Eagles big board for tonight. I listed enough guys that if every person goes, I could still get the last guy at 53. So Johnny Newton has to be the top. He's the prized guy that fell out of the first round that I would love for the Eagles to take. It's worth mentioning, I don't think it's going to be tough for the Eagles to trade up without a third round pick unless they're leveraging future capital. Which they could do, especially if they really liked one of these guys. But Johnny Newton would be a name that I would love to see. I would still take Cooper DeJean, and I would just play him at safety now. You know, people debated, is he a corner or a safety? Hey, if he's there, I'm taking him, and he's a safety now because I think that would be a great fit. I would still take Tyler Newbin, who is actually a safety. But I'd be really surprised if the Eagles don't take an offensive lineman. And so some offensive linemen I like. You could take Jackson Powers Johnson. I had a first round grade on him. He could be a center or a right guard, depending on how things shake out. With Cam Jurgens, you could play it either way. Cooper Beebe, I'm really high on. I feel pretty certain he'll be there at 50 or 53, and he's just your right guard. And then a little bit further down my board is Kingsley Suamatia, who is like your super athletic tackle prospect that needs to sit and develop. If you wanted to go Lane Johnson replacement down the road, that would be a fun guy for Jeff Stoutland to have to play with.
Yeah, it seems like the rumblings coming out yesterday was that Lane might play for a while. So I'm not sure if tackle has been like pushed down now. I noticed you didn't have AD Mitchell very high at all. And I guess there's a lot of off the field there stuff. Me personally, I'm guessing it's more likely the Eagles trade down, maybe trade up or trade down or stay at 50 and trade from 53. There are a couple of guys, although it's hard to trade up for, I think Jackson Powers Johnson and definitely Johnny Newton and Cooper DeJean are absolutely worth it. Because as you mentioned, Cooper DeJean, just play him anywhere. I mean, you can play him at cornerback when Slay retires anyway. You can play him at safety this year or in the future, play him in a nickel this year, and then possibly play him at cornerback in a year or two anyway. Johnny Newton has obviously got injury problems, and that's why he didn't go in the first, because talent is off the charts. He's my defensive tackle one. Like, he would be an absolute steal, whoever takes him in the second round. My guess is AD Mitchell or Labaconkey will go the first pick to Buffalo, and then maybe you can get the other one. Cooper Beebe is also a target of mine as well. But in terms of like the trade-up guys, it's definitely Powers Johnson and Johnny Newton and Cooper DeJean. Once I get past those three, there's no one else that I would say I really want to move up for. There's a few comments coming in. If you want to get to the one from a linebacker, we've definitely got a couple of comments about linebacker, about Edrian Cooper, Peyton Wilson. There's a few there. Me personally, just my opinion. So I have Junior Colson first and then Cooper. I'd be very happy with them at 50 or 53. Peyton Wilson, I'm slightly lower on. I'd rather a trade down to get Wilson. But I think there is an extremely good chance that Colson or Cooper are available at 50. So I think if the Eagles wanted to go that route, they would be able to. I think the Eagles are in a pretty good spot. I feel like there's 50 and 53. There'll be players available. It's just whether they decide they need to move down because they're so short on picks. I think Chris Braswell would be a fantastic pick as well at 50 or 53 if he's there. Mm-hmm. Tyler Newbin, if you wanted a safety, I completely agree with you. I would do that as well. So yeah,
I can see the Eagles taking a slot cornerback as well, because you brought Avante Maddox back, but it's a 1-year deal. You have Isaiah Rogers, which people have speculated about playing in the slot, but he never has. And he's also on a 1-year deal. And you've got some guys that are, I think, project to be really good slot corners in Mike Sanristil and Max Melton, both of whom should come off the board tonight. Max Melton's probably a little further down the board than Sanristil. You could probably trade back for him, but those would be some interesting guys to keep an eye on as well. Let's run through a few of these comments and we'll talk some more names. Eagles Eric on Twitter says the Eagles are definitely going to draft an offensive lineman at some point today. I think there's a good possibility of that. Lance on Twitter asks, do you think the Eagles will look to trade for any veterans during the draft? How about a linebacker? personally, I look at, they have 3 5th round picks, and I don't expect them to make all of those. And Howie does tend to trade some of those day three picks for players at times. So I don't have a name to give you that might be on the move, but I could see them doing something like that more on day three. What are your thoughts on that, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. There's no one in mind that like comes as an obvious candidate. I think the safety was the one that maybe they could have considered previously, but I'm not sure now with the way that the board is. I agree with the comment now about trading down. I expect Howie's trade down. I just can't see the Eagles not picking in the third. Like, I feel like there's such a big gap between if they got... they have a late third pick? If I don't have any, do they?
It's 50, round? 53, and then 120.
Yeah, that's
and then 161, 171, 172, yeah, and something in the 200s.
Yeah, that's a massive gap. I expect them to trade down with one of them. Looking at a few of the other comments, Eagles Eric mentions the medical concerns with Jackson Powers, Johnson, Newton. I agree. I think AD Mitchell's got loads of character concerns as well linked to his... linked to his medical stuff as well. Shane just now sharing comments to talk about how great his beard looks.
I have been told before that it says that my beard gives me a Fitzmagic look. I've been told before I should be Ryan Fitzpatrick for Halloween. So
you
that's
should.
A thought.
I still say it's worrying that I'm not in charge of these comments. So anyone says anything nice about Shane, you can just post them at will. I was going to post his comment as well.
Drop some negative comments about Johnny. I'll throw those up. No, I wouldn't do that to Johnny. But yeah, this comment from Anthony, I'll let you talk about here, Johnny. He asks, what about Ringo, Ricks, and Job? Could any of them play nickelback?
I don't think so. And I would have to look up their measurables and decide.
You muted yourself.
I managed to mute myself mid-talking, which is impressive. I meant to change tabs. I was going to look up how tall they are. I think the thing about Fangio defense for the comment is Fangio's defense, the nickel position is such a unique position to learn. It's a really difficult position. And if I'm a young cornerback and I've been trained to play outside, I don't think it's as easy as like if you're Jim Schwartz, like I'll move into the slot. Just play man coverage on this guy. And all you got to do is, whereas you were playing with outside leverage, now you're playing with inside leverage. You're still one-on-one. I think Fangio's defense is so technical. And I think it's so much about being in the right space at the right time, passing off players, understanding like the players around you. I wouldn't move any of them. Young cornerbacks, I would keep outside. I don't think their measurements fit perfectly. They do have physical like run defense, but we saw what happened last year when Bradbury went into the slot. He didn't look comfortable anywhere, but I personally wouldn't. I would rather draft a specialist to develop for that position. You threw out some of the names already. Max Melton, to me, I think he can play outside, but I think he's the obvious one who can fit there. And there are some other names at quarterback. I think Rakestraw, if you want a really physical player. But I think realistically, after going cornerback round one, I'd be surprised if they took a nickel specialist number two. I think they're more likely to do a safety who can play nickel at times rather than draft a second cornerback. And there's another comment coming in about linebacker. Yeah, I wouldn't trade up for a linebacker in this draft. I don't, unless Colson or Cooper go really early, I think I'd sort of take my lumps and hope that one of Colson, Cooper, and maybe Wilson are available. If they were desperate, I think there's too much talent to trade up for any of those three.
And it's a weak linebacker class.
It is. But I do think if you get past those three, you're in a little bit of trouble, unless you look at like Trotter and Wallace and 3 and 4. A few other names I wanted to write there. You mentioned offensive line, which I think is very likely. Jackson Powers Johnson is obviously the one. If you want the plug and play starting guard, you've got two. You've got Cooper Beebe and Christian Haynes. I would absolutely be all on board with those two if the Eagles wanted a star. Although, to be honest, the Lane Johnson rumors have sort of pushed me, or not rumors, but comments have pushed me down a little bit. I feel like maybe we're not giving Tyler Steen as much credit as starting. I personally still think the Eagles would do it. My guy would obviously be Jackson Powers, and I would love Cooper Beebe. I just think he just steps right in, right guard, starting day one. But Christian Haynes is very, very similar. Yeah, we've gone through a bunch of names then. I do think they will move down as well. Shall we do very quickly, Shane, to finish up, unless there's any other comments that you particularly wanted to get to? Because I've got about 5 or so minutes left. If they move down, let's play hypothetical. If they do move down to round three, who are the guys that you would be looking at? And obviously, we don't know who they'll take in round two in this situation. But if they did say stick at 50 and then move down into the third round, who's maybe some of the names that we haven't mentioned that you would consider?
Braylon Trice, edge rusher out of Washington, would be interesting. He's number 44 on my big board, but I feel like consensus on him is quite a bit lower. But I would be really interested in Braylon Trice. I could see them being interested in a guy like Patrick Paul, offensive tackle out of Houston, in the third round if they were to move back. And then you can get into more safeties to like Kalen Bullock would be interesting. Chris Abrams-Drain, Cole Bishop. Who's the defensive back out of Texas Tech?
Don't ask me for names in college.
Got a hyphenated name. Taylor Demerson. I can't remember his first name now. He's a super athletic. He used to be a running back, and his coach left. He followed his coach. They didn't have a running back spot, so he became a safety. He's like a rangy, loves to hit people guy. So, you know, if you could move back for a safety there, I could also see him moving back and taking a wide receiver, because, again, there's a lot of wide receivers still on the board.
Yeah, I haven't even got to my main guy, which is Malachi Corley, who is still my number one target if the Eagles want like a role player. But I personally see him more as a round 2-3. I just don't think they're going to pick a receiver in the second necessarily with the amount of needs they've got. Other names that you haven't mentioned, you mentioned Braden Trice. He would definitely be on my list. There's loads of safeties that I like in free. Malik Mustafa, Jaden Hicks, Bullard, Bullock, I really like. Ben Sinnott is a favorite of mine at tight end if you want a fullback tight end hybrid. And if they wanted to go really radical, they brought Marshall and Lloyd in for a visit. I would imagine running back might be more of a day four. But if they wanted to go explosive, Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, Marshall and Lloyd might be available. I think Jonathan Brooks apparently is going to go to the Cowboys because Jerry Jones has told everyone that he loves him. So I've no idea what Jerry Jones is doing there. If you haven't seen that, Jerry Jones literally came out and said he's very high on our board, and he interviewed brilliantly. So I'm praying today that somebody jumps up and takes Jonathan Brooks before the Cowboys, because they obviously want him in round two. Right, before we finish off, Shane, let's get to the last few comments. A few people have mentioned Keon Coleman. You're higher on him than me. I'm not a fan for what the Eagles have already of Keon Coleman. This is where it's interesting ranking them for an Eagles player. So if I was ranking them in like straight up dynasty talent, I had Keon Coleman as my wide receiver, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But for the Eagles specifically, I had him as my wide receiver, like 11. I would prefer Leggett, Pearsall, Franklin, Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, who knows what's going on there. To be honest, Roman Wilson and Malachi Corley, I see similarly. So I'm not that fussed about Keon Coleman. I just don't think he gives the Eagles what they necessarily need. It's not really something different. It's still a similar outside receiver. And to be a little bit technical on the pick as well, I want movement receivers that can play every position. I know Malachi Corley doesn't, but I think AJ Brown and Devontae Smith move into the slot so much. I want to take a receiver who can move around a bit. However, to be fair, a lot of people do see Keon Coleman as a big slot. So maybe I'm being unfair there. And if the Eagles see him as that as well, then I am fine with it. Any other comments, Shane, that you wanted to get to?
Keon Coleman for you. Coleman is number 31 on my big board. He's like my sixth best player still remaining. I don't really like the fit with the Eagles, though. I think he's just your prototypical X receiver that needs to be used vertically. And the Eagles already have that in AJ Brown. And they also like Devontae Smith, they like to use vertically too. So I like Keon Coleman, the player. I don't like the fit with the Eagles, so I wouldn't be thrilled with that pick from the Eagles, but there's a lot of teams I would like him for. It's just a fit thing for me.
Yeah, right. Let's finish up, Shane. So I know I hate doing this. So I'm going to put you on the spot, and you can ask me as well what I'm currently thinking. Right. Everything out, cards on the table. We basically got sort of the first round right to an extent. We both said Cooper DeJean, and I think, funny enough, my wife texted me yesterday saying, what do you think? I think she may have had a drink because she doesn't ask me anything ever otherwise, but she was out. And my prediction was we moved up for Terry and Arnold. In the end, we both sort of said right position, wrong player. So if you had to bet, and I'd say if you get the position, then that's still pretty good. Let's say the Eagles take two players in rounds 2 to 3. Assuming they pick two, who are you going for, position, player? Well, I'm asking you, Shane, so I can think my answer through. So if you have cards on the table, what are you thinking? Go for it. And anyone in the comments still, before we wrap up, please post yours as well. Go for it.
Okay. If I have to pick, I would say they walk out of today. Man, this is tough, especially on the spot. I say they walk out of today with a wide receiver and an edge rusher.
And names, come on, give the people names.
I'll go Braylon Trice and Roman Wilson.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have asked you because I'm struggling now myself. I just can't help but feel like they're going to go O-line. I feel like the offensive lineman might go before them. I think that's the thing. I think they're too good to drop. Whereas I think I don't know why I think this, everybody, but I think they're going to take a linebacker on day two. I think they're going to take either Colson or Cooper. My guy would be Colson. I wouldn't be surprised if their guy is Cooper. And I think they might go fully defense. I think they might. Oh, it's such a good wide receiver class to pass on, but then I think they might go before them. So I'm basically just giving you loads of options. Let's go with receiver and linebacker. So I might go with a Roman Wilson if he's there, and a junior Colson. But I also think they're going to go guard, defensive tackle, and edge. So there's five positions they're going to take in two picks, which is one of the problems with doing this.
Johnny's like, I think they're going to take an offensive player and a defensive player.
Yeah, and someone that can contribute on special teams.
I love you blindsiding me with that today, because I've been podcasting with you for a year, and I know that you hate making predictions. Just out of left field, 5 minutes after you said you needed to be off the podcast, you're like, so what exact players are they taking tonight? No pressure.
I'm a man of the people, Shane. You told me a second ago we've somehow got 800 people watching this for our third live podcast, which has sort of blown my mind. So as a man of the people, I've given maybe if the people want that. If they don't, then please tell me and I'll definitely stop predicting, because I would love to never predict anything again. Although I joke about making predictions, I think final thoughts would be, you do realize that the Eagles roster is very star heavy and there is still quite a few needs. Like, you realize, and I think every team's like this, the Eagles are not unique, but when you do go through it, you do sort of like see that, yeah, like, do they desperately need a receiver? Do you know what? I'm changing my mind. I think they're going to go defense only. I'm going on the Paris Campbell hype. Paris Campbell, Devontae Parker, make do until day three and maybe take like a Jacob Cowing or something in round four. I think it might be a defensive night. Let's go edge and linebacker. Let's go with a Braylon Trice or an Adisor Isaac and a junior Colson or an Edgerrin Cooper. Final prediction, defense only. Definitely be wrong. Probably offensive line and wide receiver. But I've covered all bases now, so I can't be wrong.
The good thing is that at some point in the last 5 minutes, you've literally named every position. So no matter what they pick, player, we can clip it out and we can play it on Twitter, and everyone's going to be like, that guy's a genius. We need to go watch their show. So brilliant marketing there by you.
I was going to say I've named every player, but they'll probably take like Brandon Coleman now. And I was like, oh, great. He's an offensive tackle. So brilliant. Love the comment. Thank you for calling out Shane in particular. I know his ego needs a boost at this time of the year when it's draft season. And he knows everything anyway. I'm playing catch up with draft season, guys. This is tough for me. This is a grind draft season. Shane knows way more than me about a bunch of these players. So, right.
I have to ask you as we get out of here.
Yeah.
Did you end up going back and watching the Cedric Gray tape?
No, I didn't. Do you know what? This is how bad I was. So I didn't finish work yesterday till gone 7 my time. I had like a 12-hour day. And I wanted to go to bed early as well so I could get up. I forgot to do my first round mock draft. So I got like a few friends of me text me like, how many did you get right? And I went, oh, no. So let alone watching tape, I don't think I've done anything NFL related except grind tape, and I basically just hit a wall. Although I will say, film reviews will be coming from Leading Green Nation as my final thoughts. I love watching these guys once the Eagles have taken them, because I really get in more depth rather than like 2 or 3 games. I will go to town. I am very excited to watch Greenwood Mitchell, and we'll be back next week most definitely, where we have done a little bit more film work, and we can definitely go even more in depth on Greenwood Mitchell there, because I will come with clips, Twitter threads, hopefully by the time we record. So yeah, any other final thoughts, Shane? I think I will leave it there from me for today. I would just say thank you so much, people that are watching live. It's sort of blown me away, which I've said on the last few podcasts. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised at this point, but I still am.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are awesome. Thank you for tuning in. We wanted to get a round one reaction show out due to the time zone differences, and I've got family coming to visit this weekend. We're not going to be able to get a round two reaction out for you guys tomorrow. However, we will be back early next week breaking down the whole Eagles draft class, and we'll start to get into film of these players. You know, we've got a lot of the offseason. So I do just want to plug a couple quick things to you guys as we get out of here. First of all, I will be live tonight from 7 p.m. Eastern on the Edge of Philly Sports Draft Show. You guys come hang out with us. We're going to be talking about all the players, the selections as they come off the board, just like we did last night. That'll be a good time. If you want to support our podcast, I will have links in the show notes to our Patreon. We've got some perks set up for Patreon. We have our first Patreon member, so shout out there. Overseas too. So we need the Americans to step up here as patrons, but we've got the links to Patreon, Cash App, and PayPal. If you want to donate to and support the show, we greatly appreciate that.
So can I say one final thing before you end, seeing as we've got a few live listeners. Yeah, we're going to do a few more things with a Patreon, but just throw a name of Discord out there as well. Twitter is just, there's so many comments. We obviously try to reply to people and Twitter's amazing, but if you want a little bit more like conversational chat and want to ask us some questions, especially in the downtime, if you get on the Patreon, we do have a Discord on there, and then you can get more lovely comments from the loyal Shane crowd in the comments. Right, I'll leave you to finish it formally.
Yeah, Justin did say you're all right too, so we've got that going on. But yeah, you can check those things out. Obviously, no obligation to subscribe to anything. The podcast is here. The podcast is free. We love doing this with you guys, and you guys watching, downloading, rating and reviewing is everything we could ask for. But if you would like to do a little bit more, it's going to be there in the show notes. And so that's going to wrap it up for this first round reaction show. Johnny and I are both thrilled with the pick. We'll be back next week to break down Quinyon Mitchell more in depth, or maybe we'll just do general draft reactions next week and get into film review after that. But we'll have you covered right here. So stay tuned to On the Shane Page. We'll be right back.